Welcome to Northern Ag Network On Demand. If you like this program, we'd sure appreciate your comments on the show. Feel free to suggest to us if you've got news or stories you think your neighbors in Northern Ag Network country would benefit from hearing. We'd also like to take a second to thank BNSF Railway for sponsoring our program. BNSF Railway has been partnering with farmers for over 170 years. We thank them for the partnership. Enjoy the report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Schwab here from the Northern Ag Network with today's Noon Market Report. Well, this week has our crew at Northern Ag Network busier than a one-legged pirate in a butt-whooping contest. For myself, I'm in Saratoga, Wyoming to present a cattle market update to the Carbon County Farm Bureau annual meeting, while our intern Grace McDonald's back at her family ranch near Jordan for a week-long branding. Of course, Brett's in Columbia on the Montana Pulse Crop Committee trade mission, and we'll hear an update from that trip in a moment. But first, I want to turn to our network's Ag Director, Colter Brown, who is helping out at the Montana Range Days in Miles City and standing by with a guest.
Well, we're here at Montana Range Days, and of course, once again, the Montana wool growers come out and cook lunch in the field for the kids. The best lamb lunch I get to have all year is what I tell folks. Stephanie Leach, Executive Secretary of the Montana Wool Growers, join us. And Stephanie, we just appreciate what the Montana Wool Growers does here providing lunch. Why is that important to the association to take the time, the effort, the money to come and do that?
Well, this is our one event throughout the year where we get to expose a large group of our youth to what we raise, what we produce here in Montana, our lamb lunch. And it's really fun to see the kids who have never had lamb come back for seconds and compliment us on the meal, and then those that come back to Range Days every year and look forward to it.
Well, good. Thanks a bunch. Stephanie Leach, the Executive Secretary of the Montana Wool Growers.
Well, thank you for that update, Colter. It sure sounds like you and Taylor Brown have been doing a great job to help the next generation. And as mentioned, our coverage of the Montana Pulse Crop Committee and the Montana Department of Ag's trade mission continues on today with our network's Brett McRae. He caught up with Montana Pulse Crop Committee Executive Director Liz Edmondson, who said that the trip has proven the checkoff dollars are working the way they should.
Montana Pulse Crop Committee is a checkoff organization. The Montana grower gives 1% of their gross receipt of pulse crop sales to the checkoff to help build international and domestic marketing relations. And I think for myself, personally, seeing how important those relationships are has just been an invaluable to going home and saying to my committee, hey, we're making the right funding decisions, and being able to say to other growers in the state, we are doing something very influential with your checkoff dollars.
Edmondson said a specific example was when they met with Granny Pack, a large pulse distributor in Columbia, as they showed their appreciation for a strong trade relationship and clean quality products that come from Montana.
From the beginning, we've worked closely with farmers. BNSF's ties to the agricultural community go back 175 years. Together, we've innovated to make the U.S. agriculture supply chain one of the most efficient and productive in the world. Our strong relationship powers BNSF still today and helps us move the nation like no one else can. At BNSF, we move the nation for you.
As you may recall, the USDA released a proposed rule under the Packers and Stockyards Act yesterday that they say will better protect farmers, ranchers, and other market participants. The rule, they say, would expand transparency, making it easier for farmers to understand the contracts that they're making. However, not a lot of groups agree. Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says it's a direct attack on producer profitability and creates a criteria that would deem any innovation or differentiation in the marketplace improper. Lane says those practices are central to how cattle producers around the country differentiate their products in the marketplace while deriving premiums and attempt to be profitable. He added that USDA is yet again undermining that, and to get everybody back to the same point where they're all receiving the same price for their cattle, regardless of the quality, is in some sort of a misguided attempt to achieve fairness in the marketplace, as he called it disappointing but not unexpected. And as the Supreme Court approaches the final opinion release date of its term, the environmental and administrative lawyers are waiting with bated breath to learn the fate of the legal doctrine that federal agencies have been using since the Reagan administration, which they've used to defend themselves in court. In two of the term's most closely watched cases, Loper-Bright v. Raimondo and Relentless v. Commerce, the justices have been asked to overturn the 40-year-old Chevron doctrine, which says the judges should generally defer to agencies' reasonable interpretation of their powers when Congress has been unclear. The justices could decide those cases by the end of this week. Well, we need to take a break, but we're going to come back with more ag news right after this.
I'm Jenny Stovall. So in agriculture, it's all a risk. And in order to deal with that, it's very difficult just to go through life and just smile and wave the little rodeo wave. You know, you always think the grass is greener on the other side. And that's where, you know, you do need to go beyond the weather if things aren't. Otherwise, you go down a downward spiral. So if you know anyone that needs help, please send them to beyondtheweather.com for free counseling for farmers and ranchers.
It was a great hump day for the cattle complex today as all three markets were able to trade higher into the noon hour. However, no cash cattle trade has developed, but some asking prices have been noted in the south at 192 or higher. Of course, it's likely that the board's higher tone will help the feedlots hold the market at least steady this week, if not being able to push just a little bit higher, but trade will likely be delayed until Friday as feedlots have their sights set on higher prices. One headwind they may face, though, from the packers is the fact that boxed beef prices haven't really been hitting the gas hard, as this morning the choice cattle values fell 44 cents, now sitting at $3.2.95. In addition, the feeder cattle complex sure appreciated the corn complex trading lower and the live cattle contracts trading higher. Those feeders fearlessly charge into Wednesday's noon hour. Checking out some of the futures from today, August feeders up $2.15 at $2.6120. September feeders up nearly $2 as well at $2.6202. For the live cattle futures, it was the August contract up $1.82 at $186.25. October live cattle futures also enjoying the triple digit gains as they added $1.60 to their complex at $185.95.
Are you a Montana veteran or know someone who served? Montana Department of Health and Human Services is requesting veteran feedback on our state's care services network that supports long-term independence. It's an opportunity for Montana veterans to share insights on what works and what doesn't. We want to honor those who've served, helping them live where they want, how they want, for as long as possible. Help us get it right, Montana. Make your voice count at veteranssurvey.mt.gov.
The wheat markets did their best to show a little bit of life and possibly establish a bottom today as they actually found a little bit of positivity to hit the closing bell with, but unfortunately it was nowhere near enough to correct the big two-month loss that they felt. For the KC Winery to the July contract, they added 4.5 today, finishing right at 580.5. September KC Winery up nearly 4 as well, right at 585. Similarly, small gains found on the Minneapolis spring wheat with a July contract adding 2.25, just under the $6 mark at 598. September spring wheat up nearly 2 as well, right at 605.25. When you run over to look at the row crops, they unfortunately could not garnish the positivity as the July corn dropped another 2 cents today at 423. September corn down nearly 3 at 429. Well, that's going to do it for today's Noon Market Report here on the Northern Ag Network. I'm Andy Schwab.